A reminder from the NAACP. Don't be fooled. Elections matter. Vote. CBS.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It looks like there will be a season 3 of Severance, the hit show that dropped its season 2 finale last week. Director and executive producer Ben Stiller say there will not be as long a wait for season 3 after there was a huge gap in between seasons 1 and 2 thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Apple TV show has been a giant hit for the streamer, which shouldn't be a surprise given 35 people have producer credits, including Ben Stiller and star Adam Scott. I'm late to the party and just started season 1. If you want to share your thoughts on Severance or whatever you're watching, tune in to Nightlight and let's discuss. If you're looking to get into the entertainment business but are lacking material, you might be interested in a piece of intellectual property that just hit the market. The rights to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre have become available, and there will most likely be a bidding war between studios and or actors who want a star. Or you. All you need are some deep pockets. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers women take the gold. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's hockey team with a thrilling 4-3 victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes to win the Frozen Four. Head coach Mark Johnson talked about the pressure on Kirsten Sims to score that penalty shot with just 18 seconds left to send it into overtime.
I wanted to see who wanted to step up and own it, who felt comfortable in the setting, because you can't have 1 ounce of negativity in your mind as you pick the puck up. It's got to be all positive, because if you think about what's going on, you're going to miss your putt, and you're going to miss the shot.
It's the 8th national championship for Johnson as head coach. The Badgers celebrating with fans tonight at a rally inside the LeBron Arena in Madison. NCAA basketball, the Badgers men's season came to a bitter end after losing by 2 points to BYU. Wisconsin finished with 27 wins and 10 losses, their best record since 2017.
I'm really proud of this group, and the ending stinks, but the ride was a hell of a lot of fun.
That's head coach Greg Gard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their raspberry lemon cheesecake Kringle. This Kringle creation has a filling of O&H's lemon cheesecake, layered with their homemade raspberry filling. It has pretty pink icing and is topped with seasonal sprinkles. It's a tasty way to welcome spring. So stop in soon. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights. Visit O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their raspberry lemon cheesecake Kringle. This Kringle creation has a feeling.
It is a little breezy out there this morning, but the wind will gradually die down here later this afternoon. Our high today, 43. It will be mostly cloudy with sunshine after about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers or even a few flurries at a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their raspberry lemon cheesecake Kringle. This Kringle creation has a filling of O&H's lemon cheesecake, layered with their homemade raspberry filling. It has pretty pink icing and is topped with seasonal sprinkles. It's a tasty way to welcome spring. So stop in soon. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights. Visit O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
To start us off on a Monday. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll check in with Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, on specific weather details. I can tell you it's windy out there this morning, and that's going to stick around. Today out of the west, 20 gusting to 35 miles an hour. Looks like we aren't going to really get a lot of warmth out of the day. 47 our expected high. Clouds should start clearing out tonight. Tuesday, sunshine in the forecast. High temperatures still only around 48. Not as strong winds. Wednesday, sunny skies, 51. Again, decreasing winds. Thursday, another 20% chance of rain back in the forecast. Should be a partly sunny day on Thursday until the rain. Highs around 57. Like I said, Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, on the way in about 15 minutes. Well, as we kick it off on a Monday, we want to focus in on the uncertainty that production agriculture and really a lot of manufacturing is looking at with tariffs and retaliatory tariffs. Dan Bossi has got his eye on it. Dan Bossi was a special guest speaker during the recent Professional Dairy Producers Annual Business Meeting in Madison. He is the president and founder of Ag Resource, and he literally watches the globe to get an indication of what's going to happen to production agriculture prices. I had a chance to visit with Dan and asked him to explain to me how, in a fluid situation like tariffs and retaliatory tariffs, he keeps track.
Well, we have a scoreboard. It's an economic scoreboard and a large, let's say, model that we try to throw things in together. But, I mean, there's so many variables. And if we go to reciprocal tariffs, we're talking over 20,000 variables that would play into this. So, you know, it's getting a little confusing. The markets doesn't like, if you will, indecision and uncertainty. And that's kind of where we find ourselves. We're now trading every headline. A lot of the old-time traders are saying, I can't do this because I can't forecast what Trump is going to say next. And so there's some volume people that are leaving, and it's a shame, but that's kind of the world we find ourselves today.
Where do you train your eye first? What area is of greatest concern to you? Tariffs or not?
Well, at the moment, tariffs are obviously our U.S. policy is the biggest concern. I always say agricultural markets are made up either from policy or weather. Those are the two things that drive price. And as we look backwards over the years, whether it's the build-out of the ethanol industry, arrival of China, we're looking for demand drivers that really help the U.S. farmer. Today, I don't have a demand driver. And so somewhere along the line, I need Washington to be clear on what is going to happen domestically so we can have those demand drivers to help farm income.
We talked about renewable fuels. 9,000 corn growers signed a letter asking for E15. You don't criticize the effort, but you want some clear information about how prepared we are for that kind of move.
Yeah, no, the E15 makes a lot of sense to me. And then even more so as sustainable aviation fuel, if we can get 5% of sustainable aviation fuel by 2030, that's an extra 12 million acres of corn. That being said, today we have a problem, and that problem is we don't have enough ethanol facilities that are out there. We're running 18 billion gallons of capacity today. Let's say we run at 94% on an annual basis, which is pretty hard and fast. That gets us to about 16.8 or 16.9 billion gallons, adding maybe 350, 400 million bushels of corn. That's not a panacea to be a demand driver. So at some point, I need to have the message either come to Washington or the ethanol industry that we need more facilities, we need to build out, we need investment. But in this administration of tariff and uncertainty and biofuel policies going forward, that investment is not being made.
Dan, when you travel internationally, what is the perspective you hear from people outside the United States? Are they engaged in tariff conversations? Do they recognize how it may change their world or what's happening in ours? Give me a sense of that international conversation.
Yeah, well, I was just down to Brazil, and I just got back from Canada last week for the Canadian Canola Council. And, you know, the Canadians in particular were very concerned about where they were falling in tariffs and what was happening to agriculture out there, and very proud to tell me that they're not going to Florida for their winter vacation. So, you know, tariffs and nationality, let's say pride, is really something that the Canadians Canadians or even the Brazilians are proud of. So I hope President Trump is using tariffs as a negotiating tool, not as something that is going to be raising revenue for the Treasury over long periods of time. If we get to that, what I call the old tariff ways of McKinley going backwards in time, that is not going to be good for American agriculture. If we're using it to level the playing field, well, that's a whole different story, and that should help American agriculture. We don't know exactly where we're landing on that, but we hope by late summer, early autumn, that we do find our place.
You know, so many farms have contributed checkoff dollars to work on international markets, building relationships, and helping with infrastructure. And now here we sit. Is there some place in the world capitalizing on this current chaos between the United States, Mexico, Canada, and China?
Oh, absolutely. When I was down in Brazil, they were giddy about their opportunity to sell to China. And so if you think about China, it's the biggest agricultural market for food in the world. $235 to $240 billion out of $1.4 trillion that we trade annually. And so everybody wants a Chinese market. Well, Brazil now gets it by default because they are the world's largest corn and soybean exporters. And everywhere I go in Brazil, I see the fingerprints of China. So if there's people that are on the opposite side of tariffs, it is the Brazilians that see their opportunity to feed the world. And unfortunately, that's where the Chinese and many others are turning to, including the EU this morning.
How is China doing economically? Big slowdown compared to what we saw a couple years ago.
Well, China's now reached what I would consider to be a mature economy, both in terms of demographics and age. And so they are no longer looking at increasing food or caloric consumption going forward. So when I think about the Chinese, which has always seen as increasing their soybean imports by maybe 5 to 7 million tons a year, now they're going to be static. And so as Brazil and others increase supplies, I need India or maybe Africa to step up. But both countries are somewhat concerning in that India has many legislatively tariffs and problems bringing in supply. Africa's 57 nations that can't seem to agree on anything. And so when I look at the world, world farmers are going to need demand drivers. And there, too, it's just not evident to me of where that'll come from.
What else are we missing, Dan, about this situation? And it doesn't have to relate to tariffs. What else are we missing? Transportation. Big discussion about the United States trying to command more presence in Panama. What other things are you keeping an eye on that we might otherwise overlook?
Well, the big thing that I'm keeping my eye on, which I think is very, very buried in the media, is what we call a fear attacks on vessels that are arriving from China into U.S. ports. Those vessels can get a fee or a payment as much as $1 million just to cross into the port of New Orleans. The U.S. has made, or the Trump administration has targeted vessels. Now, China today basically has made 62% of the vessels that are afloat across our oceans. The U.S. does not like that because it puts itself in a bad strategic position. Mm-hmm. And with that, they want a tariff Chinese vessels, whoever has chartered them, coming into U.S. ports. Well, unfortunately, if a vessel has a choice to not only pay a tariff, but now pay a tax, if you will, or a fee coming into a U.S. port up to $1 million, they will choose to go elsewhere. So ultimately, President Trump wants us to build enough vessels that we can take 15% of ag trade in the next 7 years. That will be a stretch because we're not known for building vessels in the United States. Nonetheless, I understand the strategic importance of having U.S. flag vessels afloat. How we get there and what it means for U.S. agriculture is a question, and I worry not only about the tariffs that are being placed, but this new fee that is being placed upon Chinese vessels entering U.S. ports.
Well, and when they leave, usually even with the tariff, they had U.S. goods, at least some of them, and that begs the question on the upheaval of what our farmers rely on, springtime, farm equipment, pieces of computer chip for their tractors, sitting right outside of the United States border.
All of that, including fertilizers and chemicals. And, you know, again, China is one of the biggest fertilizer exporters in the world, including urea. So when we look at how the fingerprint of fees or port fees coming in, it's really important. And Pam, this is where my head goes, that if somehow there's now an open public comment period, I put my comment in how bad this would be for American agriculture. I think we all need to resonate together and say, this is something that does not help us trade with our overseas partners. And at the end of the day, we do want to feed the world. That's what the American farmer sees himself as doing. And if we can't do that through fees or tariffs, it puts us in a very bad spot.
I'm taking you all over the place, Dan, and I apologize, but so many things that I'm curious about. Let's talk people power. A great deal of uncertainty if you hold a position within the federal government. A great deal of uncertainty if you've got a signed binding contract with a USDA agency. Am I getting paid? Is this project going forward? What does that do to us? Maybe it's self-confidence. Maybe it's consistency of research. Maybe it's animal health. What does that do to us?
Well, we don't know that yet, Pam. But I look back and I say, you know, we haven't cleaned the government closet in 249 years, so maybe a cleaning is worthwhile. But at the same standpoint, where do we end up after the cleaning, both in terms of agricultural data, agricultural integrity, and agricultural science, because we are a science-based society. Mm-hmm. So as we look forward on all of this, these are questions that are bound. But if you were to ask me to tell you what, in one word, what's happening in Washington, a word to come to mind is demolition. They are demoing the government down to the basement, and they will then rebuild it. And this is what draining the swamp really means. But I hope that at the end of the day, we are still left with a lot of our agricultural statistics that helps us make decisions, and that we stay very science-based in terms of where we're going. And I mean that also for JFK Jr. and the FDA and Health and Human Services, because that is where we can help people live longer, which provides more agricultural caloric opportunity.
Ag economist Dan Bossi, who is also the president of the Ag Resource Company, giving us some insights into how he's breaking down the terrain when it comes to tariffs we initiate in the United States and those that could impact production, agriculture, food production from around the world. We'll have more details on what Dan had to say about the landscape that farmers are going to be dealing in on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their raspberry lemon cheesecake Kringle. This Kringle creation has a filling of O&H's lemon cheesecake, layered with their homemade raspberry filling. It has pretty pink icing and is topped with seasonal sprinkles. It's a tasty way to welcome spring. So stop in soon. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights. Visit O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Minnesota area, or 507, says 37 degrees soil temperature. Wants to know if that's about right. Half an inch of rain, some big snowflakes by Butch and Alto, better than a half an inch of precipitation north of Burnett. That's what you got to work with this morning, Stu. I'm with Stan on that heavy stuff that it was like a dividing line, as you had predicted, kind of across central Wisconsin and north. They had a little something to move this weekend.
They had a little something there. I get the report from Wild Rose, you know, the weather reporters that work for the Weather Service. Wild Rose indicating they had over an inch and 12 hundredths of moisture, and that transitioned to almost 4 inches of snow in Washera County. That was right in that line where it was going to be wet and really sloppy. What I had here at Fond du Lac wasn't quite an inch, but it was very wet and sloppy last night. That's all starting to draw to a close today. There's probably the highlight. We're not going to talk about a lot more precipitation, although low pressure is just pulling away from northeast Wisconsin. The radar indicating some snowfall from the Fox Valley, from Fond du Lac up through Oshkosh, Green Bay, and right up into far northeast Wisconsin, the UP. And you're not alone. Far northwest Wisconsin, still under a winter weather advisory until 7 this morning. That's Park Falls, Hayward, and they're going to have some lake effect snow around there as well. But low pressure is pulling away from the state. It is going to begin to dry out slowly and surely today. Sunshine will try to break back on through much more quickly in the west, a lot more difficult to do in the east, but it will brighten up today, and the temperature remain cooler than normal, but we start to dry it out. We stay a little drier right on into Tuesday and Wednesday, with the exception of southwest Wisconsin. Going to be a bit of a warm front grazing us just to the south, and I wouldn't be too surprised with a few more clouds Tuesday or Tuesday night. Far southwest Wisconsin, northern Illinois could see a little bit of light rain trying to build in. The rest of us do stand a better chance to stay dry and watch temperatures slowly and surely moderate. We start pushing back to more normal levels tomorrow and a little above normal right on to Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The end of the week also may feature a little rainfall. Some of that chance could start to build into southern Wisconsin late Thursday. Certainly, I'd expect almost anywhere in the state Thursday night or into Friday, a little rainfall trying to build on in. Temperatures staying mild enough. I don't think we worry too much about snow with that one, but it stays very pleasant, very mild to start the weekend. Just cooling slightly on toward early next week. Still sounds like some very nice, and now we have to say it, late March weather pushing on toward the end of March. And at least now it's starting to warm up a little more. Hopefully those soil temps start to rise up more as we head toward April and we start seeing more progress in fields. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Ag weather on a Monday brought to you courtesy of our friends at Compure Financial. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Whether it's agriculture or rural America, they are there for you. Find details at compure.com. All right, Stu, give me the details on the forecast for today.
All right. Well, morning clouds everywhere. You know, that winter weather advisory in the far northwest and light snow still falling in northeast Wisconsin. That all draws to a close. From west to east, we expect to see more sunshine as the day progresses. Fantastic news. Temps in the north still in the 30s. Anywhere else west and south, especially pushing toward the mid-40s today. And it stays windy. You heard those winds all night. You dealt with them getting out this morning. West winds a good 10 to 20. Some gusts near 30. And 35. Overnight, as we clear it out, we cool off even more. Low 20s in the north, upper 20s south. The west winds at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, some sunshine, with the exception of southwest Wisconsin, a few more clouds, maybe that slight rain chance. Temps tomorrow, though, a lot of us in the 40s, upper 40s in the south. The northwest winds 5 to 10. And by Wednesday with sunshine, Pam, I expect we see 50s, maybe upper 40s. The further ahead north, winds become west at 5, and even a bit warmer for Thursday. But that's that next little possibility of rain.
Well, we got to keep an eye. Next Monday is opener for the Brewers, so anything besides snow, I think we can manage.
Well, we have that roof thing, you know.
That's true. Yeah, we could always rely on that. We'll wait and see. Well, We'll wait until we get a little bit closer to put you on the spot for that forecast.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you got to know if you can tailgate or
That's
not.
That's right. You bet. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Again, your weather observations are welcome right here, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Today is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And this week, O&H is featuring their raspberry lemon cheesecake Kringle. This Kringle creation has a filling of O&H's lemon cheesecake layered with their homemade raspberry filling. It has pretty pink icing and is topped with seasonal sprinkles. It's a tasty way to welcome spring. So stop in soon. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights. Visit O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is set to return to court to appeal a judge's decision blocking deportation of alleged South American gang members to El Salvador as deportation flights resume to Venezuela. The BBC's Tom Hancock.
President Nicolas Maduro had stopped accepting deported Venezuelan nationals a month ago after the Trump administration accused him of failing to cooperate on its anti-immigration policies.
Wildfires raging in New Jersey and the Carolinas. Brianna Reynolds lives near one of them in Rockingham County, North Carolina.
Tons of smoke. Lots of, you can see all the ashes and stuff kind of coming down now. It smells really bad.
In Rome.
Buongiorno, Santità.
Pope Francis blessing the faithful outside Gemelli Hospital before he returned to the Vatican for the first time in 5 weeks. CBS's Chris Livesay.
The Pope made his hard-won exit in a trademark low-key papal white Fiat, waving from the window.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I don't usually break news here, even if it's entertainment related, but there is always an exception. Vanna White, who has been turning letters on Wheel of Fortune for 43 years, recently disclosed to Drew Barrymore on her talk show that she has worn over 8,000 dresses. That's almost 1,000 more than Pat Sajak recently confessed to wearing. The beloved 68-year-old White says she's never taken a dress home, but the show does lend them out to her occasionally for big events. The wardrobe disclosure comes after White confessed to only working 34 days a year. What is this? The secret to keeping a show on the air for a long stretch? Many would say is to keep infusing it with fresh talent, whether it be writing, producing, or casting. The Emmy-winning show Only Murders in the Building has adapted that formula as they've added many actors over the years. The most recent addition to the cast will be Christoph Waltz. Variety reports that the two-time Oscar winner will join the show for season 5. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers women take the gold. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's hockey team with a thrilling 4-3 victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes to win the Frozen Four. Head coach Mark Johnson talked about the pressure on Kirsten Sims to score that penalty shot with just 18 seconds left to send it into overtime.
I wanted to see who wanted to step up and own it, who felt comfortable in the setting, because you can't have 1 ounce of negativity in your mind as you pick the puck up. It's got to be all positive, because if you think about what's going on, you're going to miss your putt, and you're going to miss the shot.
It's the 8th national championship for Johnson as head coach. The Badgers celebrating with fans tonight at a rally inside the LeBron Arena in Madison. NCAA basketball, the Badgers men's season came to a bitter end after losing by 2 points to BYU. Wisconsin finished with 27 wins and 10 losses, their best record since 2017.
I'm really proud of this group, and the ending stinks, but the ride was a hell of a lot of fun.
As head coach Greg Gard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It is a little breezy out there this morning, but the wind will gradually die down here later this afternoon. Our high today, 43. It will be mostly cloudy with sunshine after about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers or even a few flurries at a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
because the federal government has gone quiet on climate change does not mean that food processors have. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. There are many food companies that are asking questions of farmers about the practices they use to produce the food they manufacture. And farmers that are ready to answer those questions may find a premium for the product that they produce. That's a big part of the conversation happening this week, courtesy of the professional dairy producers. Stephanie Hoff is going to bring us details in just a moment. Well, so it's kind of a windy day today. It is the 24th day of March. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1989, the oil tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground in Prince William Sound, Alaska, considered one of the most devastating environmental disasters in history. They know that it killed up to 250,000 seabirds and other wildlife. That happened on this day back in 1989. Some happy birthdays for you today. This one is always interesting to me. Harry Houdini, the escape artist, he was born on this day, 1874. Now, he was actually born in Budapest, but he always claimed that he was born in Appleton. His family left Appleton when he was 9. They moved to New York, but apparently he had a fond spot for Appleton because that is what he considers his birthplace on this date back in 1874. Happy birthday to Sheldon from The Big Bang. That's Jim Parsons. He's 52. And Allison Hannigan from American Pie and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She turns 51 today. And now you know. Knowing is key to answering questions that food companies are presenting to farmers about the practices that they use to handle their animals, to care for the land. This week, getting a handle on measuring those practices, that's what they're talking about with the professional dairy producers of Wisconsin.
Professional Dairy Producers is hosting a Carbon, Crops, and Cows program. It's a workshop that will help you get acquainted with the tools that can help measure and manage sustainability metrics on the farm. There are two of these one-day events. The first is Tuesday in Kewaunee. The other is Wednesday in Sun Prairie. And you can find the details at pdpw.org. Executive Director and Dairy Farmer Shelley Meyer says she understands that sustainability and carbon are words that can make producers feel like they're under a microscope for environmental initiatives, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Exactly. It is a program that first was piloted by a group of leaders. Before they rolled this out and said, we have this program, they tested it themselves, fellow dairy farmers. And what it does is it runs your information that from your farm, your nutrient management plan, your yields, and the data points that you have, that is collected by a third-party group, and they run it through the modeling. They run it through FarmES, through Comet, and then through an international tool called the Cool Farm Tool. And it gives you the carbon and the emissions score from each one of those models, which are data points. The other thing that it did, and so you as a farmer, that's your information. You don't have to share it unless you want to. It's information that you can use to make future decisions that could be drive your profitability and efficiency on your farm. But when partners come to you and say, you must lower, or we'd like you, if you're going to have a market, you need to prove that you can lower that score. At least you know where you're at right now.
It's called Your Farm, Your Footprint, again, through the professional dairy producers. Now, Tier 1 has some legs under it now because this has been out for over a year.
Tier 1 rolled out, ironically, on Leap Day last year. We wanted to help the U.S. dairy sector, our members, all farmers, regardless if they're members of professional dairy producers, leap forward and knowledge so that they knew, had a data point on their farm. That's Tier 1. Now Tier 2 is rolling out. So any farm that's been through Tier 1, and that continues, so that there's dollars there to help farmers do that. But Tier 2, if they're part of the Nestle Milk Shed, they can choose independently themselves if they want to share their number. And there may be cost share, likely be cost share for them to do some of those things that are on their wish list that could really ultimately measure to, it could be like like advancing manure storage or tillage, new tillage equipment, or planting different cover crops, or anything that would help with cow comfort and increasing. It's what sustainability really is, and we know this as farmers, is efficiency and taking care of things better so that we can produce more with less.
Why was Nestle interested in this? Why did they decide to jump on the bandwagon with PDP?
Nestle's interested in this. Well, one, their reason for being interested in professional dairy producers, we've been in dialogue and we've worked with them for many, many years. Okay, so as a educational organization, and we're farmers, they're very interested in that. Secondly, they love the model of professional dairy producers because there's also Dairy's Foundation that works with. They like the idea that we're built on the fact of grassroots and continuing education. And because we approached them and said sustainability is important, but we want to know why, you know, you guys are motivated from it, and it was long-term discussions. And it's the fact that dairy farmers are interested in this, and they want to engage in the discussion themselves.
What does that tell a dairy farmer that one of the world's largest dairy purchasers is interested in carbon scores and sustainability, and it may even drive some of their purchasing decisions?
Every dairy farmer listening out there, you need to know that the world respects you and recognizes that you are the model for sustainability and the best that there is. And Nestle knows that. They also know that we have world class here, and that we have the education. This is an organization, Professional Dairy Producers, that focuses on information, education, and communication. So we have a mechanism for our farmers to be able to communicate. But the fact that Nestle recognizes that we've got farmers that are engaged and want to know how they can improve is the biggest thing right there. And for farmers, there's no risk. You keep your information in tier one, but you have a data point. So as you try things, and the next year when you go around and you get your score, you can see what's working to help move the needle.
Carbon, Crops, and Cows is a workshop that will cover the Your Farm, Your Footprint program and other sustainability metric resources beyond that initiative. It's coming up Tuesday in Kewaunee and Wednesday in Sun Prairie. Find the details at pdpw.org. Shelley Meyer, along with us, Executive Director of Professional Dairy Producers. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
The number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance, is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Friday, we got the latest milk production figures for the month of February, and Wisconsin's milk production basically unchanged. If you look at the numbers, 2.48 billion pounds of milk during the month of February produced within our borders. The number of cows in the state basically unchanged from last month at 1.27 million head, but that's down about 5,000 cows compared to a year ago. Some of the other states that we were watching, now you have to factor in that we needed to calculate for leap year, which changes a lot of these numbers. Looks like California milk production still down. Arizona milk production still down. Also saw places like Illinois, Indiana, their milk production was down. The 24 major dairy producing states as a group came in basically with flat milk production, slightly lower compared to a year ago. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Monday are all a little bit softer. Right now we've got May corn down to 462. December corn's down a penny and a half, 449. May soybeans currently 3 cents lower at 1007. November new crop down 2.5, 1005. The July wheat dropped 4, so far 570 a bushel. On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was down a penny and a half at 155. 40-pound block cheese dropped a penny and three quarters at 160 and a quarter. Double A butter, that actually gained three quarters of a cent to 230 and a quarter per pound. The April class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is down 8 at 1680. May down a nickel, 1709. On a Monday morning, we are starting to cast our eye on spring planting of 2025. The Helena Agri Group is joining us again this spring. Checking in right now with my buddy Dino Ebert. He is over in West Bend for Helena Agri. Morning, Dino. Thanks for jumping in here. So, buddy, what have you been evaluating lately?
Well, out in the field, we're just starting to see wheat and rye start to green up. So after this snow goes away and some of the water goes away, we're going to start evaluating stands. We expect to see some winter burn possibly on hilltops, but so far stuff has been greening up relatively nice. We were planted on time on the early side last fall. Our root set was deep. We had some nice growth, and we didn't have any ice this winter. So even though we were super cold and open there in January, I expect a decent green up. I think it's going to be a little slower than what we've seen in the past. So that's the first agenda item in the field. In the office, while we're finishing up crop plans, we're building the final ones right now, making sure we've got product in place. Planning our residual herbicide programs for corn and soybeans. Working on final touch-ups on seed. Most of that's in place, but there's always some acres that are changing or shifting gears. So in the final stages of a lot of things and ready to hit the field.
You know, one thing I'm curious about, Dino, because so many of the clients you work with have worked with you for decades. Anybody showing any anxiety about crop prices, potential tariffs? Anybody going so far as to think about changes in what they're going to plant?
I haven't seen many changes off of what guys originally thought they're going to do in the middle of winter. Is there some anxiety? Of course. Paying attention to the plan now so is more important than ever. Having a target price, selling on small rallies is going to be the key to making sure we have a profit. Is there going to be big profits out there? Hard to say. But the planning part is what we have to execute and control right now, and that's what we're working on, making sure we've got nitrogen credits accounted for, making sure we've got herbicide plans with multiple modes of action for residual control to keep weeds at bay so we're not losing yield that way. But, yeah, there's anxiety. Farmers are wired different over the years. I'm always amazed at the risk-taking that farmers partake in every single spring. It's the backbone of our whole livelihood as Americans. So these guys are putting a lot of risk out there, but it's nothing new. It's just been a little different angle this year with the winter weather we have and carryover stocks with grain and where everybody is situated at with cattle and everything else. Every farm's a little different, but I guess the best thing we can do is try to plan to have a successful year.
All right. Dean Ebert's along with us from Helena Agri. He's just a little east of West Bend, pretty easy to get to if you want to stop by and have a conversation with him. Because to your point, Dean, you are thinking about risk management as you begin your conversations. And Helena's got some great products to try to make sure that you're maximizing opportunity, minimizing financial impact.
Yeah, something we're talking about right now is guys are going out the door with seed. We have two seed treatment products that go on seed corn, Fast Stand and Quick Shot. Quick Shot is a 80-20 telt graphite material with a 2-10-3 analysis with sulfur, zinc, manganese, and copper. For the guys that like that high-volume type lubricant, that product has a nutritional push behind it to help that plant get started a little faster with a little better root. The other product's Fast Stand. That's a low-use product, totally different. It's white. It's an ethylene and wax with a HARP and protein in it. It's meant to be low usage, cleaner on metering units, but give that plant vigor for stronger emergence. So we're talking about that to try to set that crop up, get good stands to get us a good yield at the end. And then along with that, with the herbicide, the got a product called Grounded. It's a retention agent, works as a concentrated crop oil, but helps the residuals stay active longer up in the zone to get the maximum benefit from all our pre-emerge herbicides. So we're always looking for an angle to make things a little better out there to get yield.
Yeah, I know he lives it that way, folks. Dean Ebert joining us now. He's the manager of their location just east of West Bend. Helena Agri is the place you want to start your search. If you've got questions, if you're trying to come up with new ideas, they've got them. And like I said, I send you to their website, helenaagri.com, if you'd like to find out more details.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Surrounding farming and transitioning, they want to be there for you. Tonight from 6 until 7:30, they're focused in on the challenges of family farming. Next Monday, the 31st, they'll focus in on the future of family farming. Then on April 7th, their book series will have author Brian Reisinger joining them. He just finished a book about his life as a farm kid in Sauk County and the challenges that his parents, Jim and Jean Reisinger, went through at that time. Farmer Angel Network Book Club Series begins this evening, 6 until 7:30. You can join them at the Sauk Prairie Healthcare Hospital in Prairie du Sec or virtually go to farmerangelnetwork.com under their events tab, and you'll find all the details there. Tomorrow morning, we're catching up with our buddy, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We'll see you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with
Hang on tight. U.S. Ag Trade is on a roller coaster ride. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Fresh air and sunshine are abundant on most farms and ranches. Farmers need to take care working in the sun, though. Excess exposure can lead to heat stroke and dehydration in the short term and potential skin cancer long term. Protect yourself. Wear sunscreen, loose clothing, and a wide brim hat. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Trade is key to the success of U.S. agriculture, and it also happens to be a hot button for our new president. During the recent Ag and Food Policy Summit hosted by AgriPulse, one panel discussed ag trade and tariff policies. Jim Sutter, CEO of the U.S. Soybean Export Council.
And I think we all need to be supportive and patient. And I think the key thing that I think about is how do we make sure we don't too much damage our reputation as a reliable and consistent supplier? How do we, in this time period, while all this stuff is going on, how do we make sure we're not hurting our reputation? I think that's a key thing we need to be thinking about in our industries.
Sutter admits that it's hard to keep up with the presidential policy directives.
All of these changes and the things we're all kind of spinning our heads trying to keep up with are there to create a situation that allows negotiations to take place and really to get some results that we want.
Another panelist was Michael Dykes, president and CEO of the International Dairy Foods Association.
The Southeast Asia markets, the boundary countries to China, clearly opportunities there. And I think diversifying our market is important. We're optimistic about all those things. We need to be looking for opportunities in a lot of places. 1.4 billion people in India, in my view, it's too big to ignore.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine. W260